Father, we praise you. We thank you for this place that you have given unto us called Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, Lord. And I'm thankful for the sheep of your pasture that are here in the chapel, perhaps in the main lobby, those that are listening live, that their hearts be open to this word, that there be absolutely no resistance, that their ears are hearing what the Spirit of God has to say. And Lord, I just thank you again for James, Jimmy, Will, Kathy, all the family, Lord. We lift them up to you, Father. We love them dearly. We're so thankful, Lord, that we knew James and what a great man he was. And Lord, so just continue to bring healing to their hearts. And Father, we thank you also, Lord, for being with my wife right now and her mother there in the hospice care with all her sisters, Lord, surrounding Millie. We just know that she's soon to be gone, to be with you forever and ever. So, Lord, just embrace each and every heart. Give Becky supernatural strength to encourage her sisters as well. Now, Lord, bless us, bless me. Help me to teach your word faithfully and accurately. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church says, amen. Amen. Let's talk about tithing this morning, shall we? No. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to talk about the building fund. No. I want you to turn in your Bibles with me on this special day to Philemon, the little letter of Paul to Philemon. You'll find it. Go to 1 Timothy, then go to 2 Timothy, then go to Titus, and then you'll find that one little page entitled Philemon. The name of what I want to talk to you about, the topic this morning is this. Will you be a Philemon? Say that with me. Will you be a Philemon? That's the question. Don't shut your heart down now to what I'm about to tell you this morning. Next week, of course, we'll probably be in a new book. Could be the Gospel of John. It could be 1 Corinthians. Or I may have another topical until the Lord lets me know which one. But this morning, in this few verses that we're going to be covering, remember that Philemon, this letter, was written during Paul's first imprisonment there in Rome. And this it was written here to Philemon, and it's the only letter, and I should say, the only private and personal letter that we have of Paul the Apostle. And it was a letter written to a dear, dear friend. And here in this epistle this morning, or this letter, we find him pleading with Philemon about a runaway slave named Onesimus. Now, I'm not going to talk about that this morning. That's not the topic of what I want to talk to you about. But let's get into it this morning, beginning in verse 1. It says, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved friend and fellow laborer, to the beloved Apphia, now that may be his wife, we're not certain, and Archippus, that could be his son, again, we're not certain, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house. And Philemon's opened up his home there in Colossae for a house church, okay? Grace to you, peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So here we have an opening with Paul. A very personal, a very tender letter written to the three people that he loves, plus the church as well. You know, back then, churches met in homes, okay? They didn't have buildings like we have today. That didn't even occur until the third century. And they didn't even know what the word playscape meant, okay? Or bookstore, or singles fellowship, or any of the rest of that. They didn't have things like that. They were wise, you understand? But I'll tell you what they did have. What they had then, we still have today, and that is the power and the anointing and the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. Amen? Now, look at verse 4, and Paul tells him in this beautiful letter, he says, listen, I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers. Now, listen to verse 5, hearing of your love, Philemon, hearing of your faith, which you've literally shown toward the Lord Jesus, toward all the saints. Boy, what a great word. Doesn't it bless you when people, you know, say, I've heard about Calvary. I've heard about you guys down there. Man, you guys love people. You care for people. Amen? That's a blessing. That blesses me. But did you catch that word hearing? Paul says, I've heard. I've heard all about your faith, Philemon. I've heard all about the love that you have toward Jesus, our Lord, and all of the people, all those saints. So he heard that because someone shared that with Paul. Someone told Paul. They shared it. Say that word with me, shared. Very important word this morning. Now, you know, every Christian should ask themselves this question. Whenever you interact with a believer or a non-believer, and you come away from that conversation, you should ask yourself this: did they see Jesus through me? Did they experience the love of God through me? Amen? Because we're to be the most loving people in the world because we're filled with the God of love. Amen? Now, with all that being said, the Bible tells us in 1 John 3:14, we know that we've passed from death to life. Yes, we have. And the reason? Because we love the brethren. And he who does not love his brother abides in death. Verse 6 now. That the sharing, there's that word again, that the sharing of your faith, the sharing of your love and faith actually, may become effective, and he tells us how, by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. This is one of the most difficult verses in the New Testament, and it certainly, each word demands an interpretation, and I want you to catch this so we all of us are on the same page and we understand this verse 6 correctly. You know, the word sharing there, where it says that the sharing of your faith, the word sharing is a beautiful word. Actually, our cafe is named after this word in the Greek, koinonia. So this word means the intimacy with one another. It means participating in fellowship with one another. It speaks of deep communication and communion and intimacy, again, with one another. And then the next says, it's a sharing of your faith. And this is where the 21st century church, we've gotten in a bit of trouble, and it's our own fault. And that is, for example, if you have an NIV, your Bible's the NIV, then you'll notice that actually their translation of verse 6 is incorrect. And I don't say that to be mean, but what they've done is they've taken the Greek there and they're suggesting that when Paul penned this letter, he is speaking about sharing your faith such as evangelism. That is not what Paul is doing at all. Paul is not encouraging Philemon to become an evangelist. Sharing of your faith, even though we say, did you share with them? Did you share the gospel? It's okay to say that, but listen, this word here, sharing of your faith, has nothing to do with evangelism. That sharing of your faith or sharing the gospel, as we say, that was created by the Christian. That wasn't created in the Bible. Are you with me so far? Very important that you see that. The reason I say that, because if you look up the word share, or sharing, or share, with an S on the end, in the Word of God, or in the New Testament, you're going to find that that word is used approximately 13 times. But it is never used anywhere, because the word is koinonia, okay? That word is never used to share the good news. Now, we say that, it's okay to say it, but we can't do an injustice to this word here this morning. So as we look at it here, we need to remember that those 13 times it's used in the New Testament, it is never, ever used for the sharing of the good news of the gospel. Now, the Bible teaches us about the good news, that we preach the good news, we can teach the good news, we proclaim the good news, and we herald the good news. Amen? But again, that word share the gospel is a word that we have created. This word doesn't mean that. It has nothing to do with evangelism. So we've defined that word. Let's look at the word knowledge now. The word knowledge there means full and perfect experiential knowledge, which results from faith in our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And then we get to the good part. It says, every good thing which is in you in Christ. What is he saying? He's telling Philemon here, he says, listen, he says, you know what? Because of your faith, because of your love, he says, you are now understanding who you really are in Christ Jesus. all, you see, when we start understanding who we are in Christ and we understand what it means to be in Christ, you want to go and share that with other people, don't you? You want to talk, well, let me tell you, every good thing, the only thing that is good in us, because nothing good dwells in our flesh, the only thing good that dwells in us is our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? Now, with all that being understood there, it says the word active means powerful, or it means, it means more effective and so forth. Now, so as a believer grasps who he truly or who she truly is in Christ, that good thing, he is a good thing, God is good, that lives in us, the more you understand who you really are in Christ, boy, I'm going to tell you what, you want to share that with other people. You want to be intimate with your brothers and sisters, because if they're sad or something, you want to pick them up, man. You want to lift them up. That word in Christ is incredible. That's, you ought to go through the Bible and study out everywhere it says in Christ. You know, in Christ, we know that we are justified, the doctrine of justification. In other words, just as if we had never sinned. The believer's position, that good thing that dwells in me, that's in Christ. Listen, man, our sins are far as the east is from the west. When God looks at us, he looks at us as a perfect standing because we are in Christ Jesus. Amen? His spotless, sinless, perfect record has been not imparted but imputed to us. That means something that belongs to someone else, meaning Christ's righteousness has now been brought over and, say, and for example, put into your bank account, if you will. Boy, that every good thing that dwelleth in you that's in Christ Jesus, we're chosen by God. We've been redeemed by Jesus Christ. We're sealed with the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. We're his purchased possession. We are sons and daughters of God. Paul said, all things are yours. Listen, God wants you to know who you are, and he wants you to know your position. Amen? And he wants you to think like that in your life, that your communication or your sharing or your koinonia may become effective, powerful. You can't be powerful if you don't know who you are in Christ. Amen? Come on, it's the truth. No, listen, the Bible tells us that blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, Ephesians 3:1, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. There's that word again, in Christ Jesus. Listen, that doesn't mean that we're blessed only when we get to heaven. We're blessed right now in the here and now. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone be in Christ, he is a what? New creation. Never existed before. Brand new creation. Old things have passed away. All things are what? Brand new. Whole new life. Walking in the power of another. Listen, to be in Christ Jesus, to know that every good thing that dwelleth in you in Christ, like Philemon, like Paul told Philemon, means something. It means, loved one, listen, that all that Jesus is, we're now in him. And when God sees us, he sees us in Christ Jesus. Jesus fulfilled the law that we could never keep. Amen? Jesus pleased the Father, which we could never please the Father. We could never overcome the world, but Christ has overcome the world. Now, since we're in Christ, we've now overcome this world. We've overcome death, too, and the devil. Amen? See, those are those good things that we certainly need to know about right now. But look at verse 7 with me. Paul says, for we have great joy. He's talking about Philemon. Philemon, we have great joy. Philemon, and consolation, or that word means great comfort. Watch this. In your love. Boy, what a word to give to someone. And he tells us why. Because the hearts of the saints, the believers, have been what? Refreshed by you, brother. You know that word refreshed is the same word that Jesus uses when he says, come unto me, and I will give you rest, or I will refresh you. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, verse 28. Same word. So here's the thing this morning. I'm talking to Calvary Chapel. I'm talking to you that stayed home this morning or sitting on your couch, okay? Here's the deal. I want to ask you a question. Will you be a Philemon? You know the name Philemon, if you look it up, it means two things. It means, well, a person who is very kind. Love is kind. in a person who is deeply affectionate toward others. In other words, Philemon was other-centered. He was not self-centered. Does that make sense? And that's the kind of person that he was. Listen, he is a Philemon is a person who refreshes the lonely, refreshes the hurting, refreshes those who are discouraged, refreshes those who are cast down. If I ask right now for a show of hands, and I'm not, a show of hands of those right now, they're hurting, they're troubled, they're discouraged, they're just trying to figure out what to do, I promise you there'd be many hands go up in this chapel this morning. See, we need one another. We need a Philemon to come into our hearts, to come into our life and pick us up. Amen? God uses people. God uses one another. And boy, this Philemon, he was an incredible person. You know, he brought rest and renewal to people. And he did so by just simply sharing what was in him, which was in Christ. Are you with me? Do you see that? It was just a, let me tell you who you really are in Christ. Let me tell you about the good thing that God has done for you. And I look, I said, oh, Lord, you're so good. So you see, there are times when, you know what, a person can come up and say, hey, can I just share something with you real quick? We say it all the time, don't we? And you come up and you share what's in your heart, what God's placed there with somebody. And what does it do? It picks them up. Why? Listen to what the Bible says about that. Proverbs 12:25, anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word, say that with me, good word. Oh, that's good. A good word makes it glad, meaning makes the heart glad. It refreshes the heart. And that's exactly what a Philemon does. The Bible tells us that we should know how to speak a word in season. In the book of Isaiah, it says we should know how to speak a word in season to those who are weary, those who are worn out. You know, the devil, he loves to try to wear out the saints of God. Problems come into our life. We need one another. We need to help one another. Amen? And that's what Philemon does. Listen, now I want you to get this very carefully. Nowhere in Scripture, just because the church was in his house, doesn't mean that Philemon was a pastor. No place will you find in Scripture that Philemon was an elder, a deacon, an evangelist, or a pastor. Let me tell you who he was. He was probably just a well-to-do businessman who loved Jesus Christ with all of his heart and knew Paul personally, was his dear friend, and said, man, listen, I've got a big place. I've got a comfortable home. I've got, you know, I've got couches and, you know, fried chicken and gravy and, you know, I want you, come on over. We're going to have church. We're the church, the people, not a building. Amen. They're going to meet in my house. Man, now that is a Philemon. And you know what he did to refresh so many people? Again, he did what it says in verse 6. Look at it again. That the sharing, the koinonia, there's that word again, koinonia of your faith and your love, it became, oh, so powerful. And the way that it happened was by that experiential knowing of God and all that God was doing in his heart, that acknowledgement of every good thing. Acknowledgement. I acknowledge what's in me. Oh, Jesus has set me free. Jesus has redeemed me and so forth. Whenever he does that, it would bring refreshment to those who were in his presence. He would help them, those who were emotionally down. He would refresh them. Those that were just struggling, not because of lack of faith, just going through troubles in their life, he would refresh them. You know, the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19, it tells us, it says speaking, or literally it could be sharing to one another. Let words come out of your mouth. From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Speaking or sharing with one another, psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly or abundantly. The word dwell means let God's word have ample room in your life and in your heart. It says, in all wisdom and teaching, that means to instruct others, admonitions, it goes on, which means warning others. And it says, one warning one another in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatever you do, in word, that's what comes out of our mouth. Indeed, that's what we do, our actions. Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Now listen very carefully. When's the last time you even gave a psalm to anybody? Or when did you, when's the last time you walked up and said, I have a spiritual song I'm going to sing to you? It's called Hunka Hunka Burning Love. No? You know what I mean? No. Well, the reason I, Elvis, I had somebody give me the first service, they gave me Elvis's gospel album. I'm going to listen to it. I like it. Never mind. I'm not sharing my heart about Elvis. I'm not hurt my feelings. Thank you. Thank you very much. Now, no. Listen. See, you might be saying, well, when is that? How do you do that, Bill? We're at church. You know, I mean, I'm just a Sunday person. So I'm only going to hear about an hour. And if you preach long, hour and a half. But I'm a Wednesday end, so I'm here 2 hours a week. So when do you think all those things are going to be accomplished? I mean, when do you think we can do verse 6 and 7, in other words? And that's why I'm glad that you're here this morning and you're asking that question. Now, listen very carefully, Calvary. I'm taking this liberty because I'm in between books. This is a great church with great, wonderful people that love the Lord, that practice love never fails. They practice the vision statement, which is all scriptural in this fellowship. And I'm thankful to be here with you and work alongside of you. But this church is not a community church. We are scattered all over the place. I mean, we are from at least four different counties that attend here. Think about that for a moment. I mean, golly, I mean, we have people they're from Alvoid. We have people that come from Dallas and Duncanville, DeSoto and Grandview and Joshua, Mineral Wells. We have some people that listen, and I thank God, isn't God good? That's wonderful. But we have people that, you know, I talked to a couple, and they're a lovely couple. They drive nearly 2 hours every Sunday to come to this service, and I'm going, hello. The cheese is off the cracker for sure. No. That blesses me when people tell me that. But they love coming here and so forth. Listen, that's why I ask you, whenever it was, a couple of weeks ago, would you tell me your zip code? So we put all of those zip codes together. Man, there were people, those are just a few of the cities. I mean, we've got people out by Nakona. You know what I'm saying? And I mean, it's just amazing. And I'm so thankful for that. So the reason I'm talking about Philemon this morning, and the reason I'm talking about the word share, which is koinonia, intimacy, communication, fellowship with one another, participation, is because out in the lobbies, you're going to find what we call share group sign-up sheets. And there you're going to look at all the zip codes that we've accumulated, or not all, but the ones that we're trying to put, what we're doing is bunching little cities together with the zip codes and wherever they are needed to make it where we're not so scattered out. Does that make sense? To where we're closer together and people don't have to drive 40 minutes for a home fellowship or whatnot. And so that's very important. So when you depart today, and I'm not through yet by any means, but I'm just giving it to you now. If you live in one of the zip codes out there and you would like the opportunity to be a Philemon and open up your home. Now, you don't have to have the fried chicken. You can, but you can just open up your home. Or you can open up your home and even be a Philemon by leading a group, a share group, if you want to. Now, I'm trying to be, and though I am being obedient to the Lord about this creating community. That is such a difficult thing to create in the church today because we're so spread out. Amen? And you know, I know that we desperately need community. We have a lot of new things that are going to be coming up during the summer, right? New ministries and so forth. We've already formulated them. We already talked about them and so forth. And I'll be sharing that at a later time. But you may be saying, well, Bill, exactly, why are you calling them a share group? What is that? Well, a share group, again, means koinonia, okay? But that's really, we just put into practice verse 6 and verse 7 of Philemon. See, the word share group is now going to replace what we call home fellowship once this is all put into place. And a share group is this, sharing God's word from our hearts and homes and refreshing the hurting and each other. About a month ago, I wrote a letter to all the Calvary staff, meaning the people who serve in all the ministries, and I just want to read you a portion about a share group, what I told them. I said this. I said, the main purpose of a share group is to simply share with one another the word of God that is placed upon your hearts that week in order to build one another up. True, honest fellowship, praying one for another, making room for the gifts of the Spirit, will play a vital role in our share groups. Now, all of those things are biblical. They're not my vision. They're from God. Now, the reason I say that is this. You say, well, Bill, how in the world did that come about, and why share groups, and why change the name? I have been praying for months for community. Lord, what do we do? That's why I did the communion the way I did it. I thought, okay, we'll create community, where we have big dinners back there and you guys come, we celebrate, and then you go back there and pray one for another, but you went back there and ate. I wanted just to get to know somebody. Sit with different people, but you sat with your family or maybe a few close. Come on, don't say, I know, I went back there. I'm saying, okay, So I'm on my early morning walk a month ago, whatever, and I've been praying for community and praying, okay, Lord, what direction do I go? What do we do? And so, I love to walk before the sun comes up, and I'm out there, and I have my little earphones on, and I'm listening, and all of a sudden, this song moved me to tears. I mean, it just touched me, and I said, if I could just share this with my wife. You see, because I don't know how all those things on that iPhone, you know what I'm saying? That's not me. So I look at that song, and then at the bottom, the arrow? Yes. There's an arrow there. And under the arrow, it says what? Share. I went, not share the singer, but share. S-H-A-R-E. And I went, and I'd never done that. And I went, right to Becky. It went right into her inbox, just like that. And so, I know that it's like a silly, but listen, that song touched me. Do you understand? It moved my heart. And I wanted to give it to someone else so it'd move their heart. Are you following me? Bill, you're silly. I know I am, but it did something to me. And I immediately stopped. I wasn't even walking any longer. And I said, oh, Lord, if I could just punch that button with my sermons that you give me, and it would go into the inbox of every Christian, meaning into their heart. If I would just be that easy, Lord, all I have to do is hit it and not struggle or not fight or, you know what I'm saying, where every heart was open. I mean, I know their address. And then I knew the Lord wanted me to start what's called share groups. That's exactly how that came about. It didn't come about because I ate too much pizza or anything else. And the fact of the matter is, everything I'm giving you here is straight from the Word of God. Listen, Philemon, he kind, affectionate. He had a home. He loved people. He, not a pastor, not an apostle. He wasn't an evangelist. He wasn't any of those things. He was like you and me, just simple people. But he said, I tell you what, when people come to my home, they're going to be restored. They're going to be refreshed if they need it. Does that make sense? That's what a share group does. Now, a share group is going to embrace Philemon 6 and 7. In other words, man, listen, let me tell you what God has done for me this week, and I'm going to, boom, there it's in your inbox where it goes to their heart, and you bring encouragement to them. Does that make sense? But there's going to be four things that every share group will do. I want you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And as you do so, I'm going to set this up for us. Remember in Acts chapter 2, that's the day of Pentecost. The day of Pentecost started out with 120 people in the upper room, men and women, and they were praying. They were waiting on the Holy Spirit, and they were all in one accord, and the Holy Spirit fell upon them. You know the story. Now, by Pentecost evening, Peter preached the first Christian gospel message in the New Testament. Okay, after the birth of the church. Now, because the church was birthed on Pentecost. And how many people were saved that evening? 3,000 people. So now you have 3,120 believers in Jerusalem. Man, listen, is that awesome or is that awesome? And here they go, and it says, look what they did. It says in verse 42, all of them, all 3,120, it says they did something. They continued how? That word means devoted. They continued or devoted themselves to the apostles' doctrine, or literally the word of God, the teaching and fellowship and breaking of bread and prayers. Listen, can you imagine over 3,000 people, men, women, children, all ages and so forth, different ages and so forth. But you know what? There they all are. And boy, they want God's word. Each believer was steadfastly or constantly, that word could be, devoted to the apostles' teaching. What does that mean? That means that each one of them wanted to be taught God's word. They wanted to know. And the fact is, they didn't have God's word. All they had was the Old Testament at that time. The New Testament wasn't even written. And so here they are. And how do they get this information? Well, just like Jesus promised, remember what Jesus told them? I'll bring all things to remembrance to you. You don't worry about it. And that's exactly what they were doing. Listen, share groups, when we meet, share groups are going to be devoted to God's word. Amen? Boy, how can we have a group, home, whatever you want to call it, without God's word? You know, listen, the people back then, did they have a leather-bound Bible? You know, go to the bookstore, put my name on it. Paul the Apostle or whatever. No, they didn't have that. They didn't have it at all. But you know what? We have God's word. And Philemon, verse 6 and 7, will never happen unless you, loved one, are devoted to the word of God, knowing every good thing which is in you, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? Where you can effectively and actively communicate it to other people. You know, that's, again, sharing God's word. That's what the word share group means. Sharing God's word from our hearts and our homes and refreshing the hurting and each other. Without God's word, there's no growth. Without God's word, there's no light. The psalmist has written in Psalm 119, 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. We live in a dark world. We need God's word. You know, as I know, the Bible teaches us that we're not equipped without God's word. Not at all. Not only that, you know, we're incomplete without God's word. And God, without God's word, there's no basis for transformation. We can't be transformed. Remember Romans 12, verse 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds, getting into God's word. Now listen, those people in the first century, they devoted themselves to God's word. They met house to house. And you know what they did? They turned their world upside down. And that's what we need to do. We need to turn this world upside down. Amen? Yeah. Now look at the next one here. Not only were they devoted to God's word, it says, but they were also devoted to fellowship. What does that mean? That's that word, koinonia. The same word that's used for sharing in Philemon 6, that communion that we have with one another. So just like they did, we the share groups, we are going to be devoted to one another. That means we're going to care for one another. Amen? It's hard to care for one another when you just come and listen to me and then maybe you're gone. You're going to go down to Luby's and eat or something else. This is where you're in an intimate atmosphere with people. And people that have needs. You can't take care of everybody at the altar. Did you know that? No, it doesn't work that way, loved one. No, they had this deep spiritual koinonia or unity. They were all Philemons, in other words, each and every one of them. They were kind and they were affectionate one to another. They were picking each other up. The Bible tells us in Psalm 133, verse 1, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren and sistren to dwell in unity together. I mean, here you've got 3,000 people, man. And is there, they just call me. They're, you know what I'm saying? 3,000 people. And they're all in unity. Does that not blow you away? They're all in unity. They all are in one accord. And I say, oh God, that's incredible. They wanted to be around one another. Let me ask you a question. Do you really want to be around believers? Yes. Amen. Do you, people that love you, that we're supposed to love one another? That's why it is so sad when you hear of discord and are people speaking evil or telling a bunch of lies and the lie goes faster than the truth. Dear God, we need to be building up the body, not tearing the body down. Amen? Oh, no. Listen, I'll tell you something. We need one another. The Bible tells us in Romans 12:5, it says, so we, meaning the church, being many, we're one body in Christ, individually now, members of one another. I need you, you need me. Over 50 times in the New Testament, one another and each other is used. I encourage you to do a study on your own and read each and every one of them. I encourage you to also, like it says in Romans 15:7, that we receive, welcome one another just as Christ received or welcomed us. Amen? That's what we need to be doing. So they were devoted to God's word. They were devoted to each other. That's what a share group is. But they were also devoted to the breaking of bread. Now, verse 46 in Acts chapter 2 tells us that they broke bread from house to house. I basically here, this is not speaking probably in text about the Lord's Supper. It's probably talking about the supper, the love, the agape feast, if you will, before the Lord's Supper. And I know that, you know, when we have home fellowships or whatever, like I say, we're changing the name to share groups. People are so giving, they put out, you know, maybe bologna sandwiches or something. You know what I'm saying? I think bologna's pretty good. Kevin said it's great. I don't know. You know what I'm saying. But really, our share groups, see, need to be a place where the Lord's Supper is celebrated. It needs to be where we are there and we're there. You know, there's something special now. When you have 12, 15 people in your home and we're all sitting in a circle, you know how it is, and we bring out the elements, the bread and the wine, and we bring that out, and there we are in unity. And as we gather in that unity, we do so in remembrance of our Lord. Do you understand? We look back on what he has done for us. We look forward for his coming for us. And we look within if we've sinned in any way or if we've grieved him. We examine ourselves. What a perfect place to do that, where it's not rushed or it's not a ritual. It's a true living relationship, knowing that when you do that, Christ is in your very midst. Amen? That's what a share group is all about. That koinonia, the word share means koinonia. Again, that intimacy, the communication and communion and participation and so forth. And not only that, look what else they were devoted to. They were devoted, it says, the breaking of bread and in what? Prayers. They were devoted to praying. Why? They knew, as we do today, prayer is the work. Amen? Every share group will be devoted for praying one for another or just praying as well. Now listen, this is the year, 2017, the year of that passionate, persistent, fervent prayer. Passionate, you know, where it's just, it's intense, in other words. Boy, we're just ruled by that motion and so forth. Like it says in Paul said 1 Thessalonians 5:17, where he says, pray without ceasing. We need to be men and women of prayer. And that word, passionate and persistent, no matter, it means no matter what's going on, no matter if we're discouraged, or we're never going to give up, we're never going to stop praying. And then that fervency, meaning that we're consumed in our hearts. We're not ever going to quit. We're never going to give up. We're going to have passionate prayer. Jesus told us in Luke 18:1, men ought always to pray and not faint, not be discouraged, not give up. Jesus told us to knock. Remember, to ask, to seek, to knock. You know, don't ever stop. That's what prayer is all about. Our scripture, remember, is James, where it says in James, it says, and pray ye one for another that you may be healed, for the effective, fervent, righteous prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It's very, very powerful. So these share groups are going to be where we pray as well. Just see, this is not my vision. This is what God's word. Matter of fact, if you've been with Calvary Chapels any length of time, read Calvary Chapel distinctives, and you'll find what I'm saying right now is right out of the distinctives. This is what marks a Calvary Chapel. These four things that I'm sharing with you right now. So I look and I say, Lord, you're so good. Prayer is a work. You know, we have not because we ask not. Share groups are going, again, devoted to prayer, It's going to be a place to be refreshed, a place for the gifts of the Spirit. Now look at verse 43. Then fear came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. That's because the Lord was in their midst, okay? Did you note here the fruit of their devotion? These four things that they did, man, they had a fear or a sense of awe came upon everyone because the divine presence of God was right there in their midst. And now all who believed were together, had all things in common, sold their possessions and their goods. They divided all their Cadillacs and all their, And as everyone had need, we're going to take up an offering with all the keys to the car in just a minute. So continuing daily, watch this, one accord, they were in unity in the temple. It says, and they were breaking bread from house to house. In other words, share groups. They were getting together. They were encouraging one another. But, and they ate their food, how? They were happy with gladness of heart and simplicity of heart. Why did they do that? Well, they had everything in common. The Bible says in Psalm 92:4, for you, Lord, you have made me glad. Remember that song we used to do a long time ago? He has made me glad. Remember that? You don't remember that. Well, thank God. All right, I thought I'd lost it for a moment. No, listen. They lived in the here-ness and the now-ness of God, and that's what we need to do as well. The Bible says, the psalmist has written, serve the Lord with gladness. I pray that you do that, that you serve the Lord wherever he's called you to do, and you do so with a happy heart. And then it says, praising God, having favor with all people. And it says, and the Lord, not the apostles, the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Now, here's the deal, guys. This was my opportunity to just talk with you this morning. The staff already knows all about it and from the letter that I sent out, and we're praying and so forth. You know, I cannot implement this, but I can impart it. And I have imparted this vision about share groups to where we're not so isolated anymore, or, you know, that we're not driving 30 minutes to find a home fellowship, you understand, or an hour, but where they're scattered out all over and where everyone can, 10 minutes, you can be there. Does that make sense? Where we're building a stronger body because we're all going to be Philemons and we're going to refresh each other. Those that are hurting, we're going to hurt with them and we're going to pray them through. Does that make sense? You have people that are, listen, I just went through a divorce, or my husband left me, or my wife left me, or my spouse died. Listen, we have to be here for one another. If one person is hurting, we're all hurting. If one person is being honored, we're all being honored. You know, listen, you know what Paul told Philemon? You can read it when you get home, or you can turn it right back to Philemon. If you look at verse 22 of Philemon, you know what Paul said? He said, prepare a guest room for me. Where was the guest room at? It was in his house. That's where people met, okay? Listen, I'm saying this. Will you make your home a share group? Will you prepare a room? Will you do that? You know, will you give us homes where God, you know, can refresh the saints of God, where we can love one another, be good to one another, where we can pray one for another, where people can come in and they feel the liberty to share their struggles. They're not afraid. They trust a share group. They're not afraid to say, listen, I have an addiction, or I have this. They're into a group where, you know, where they're not afraid to say, okay, you know you're not going to beat me to death. You're not going to toss me off the bus. You're not going to toss, or rather, under the bus. You're going to help me. That's what it's about, isn't it? Helping one another, being good one to another, kind-hearted, even as Christ forgave us, that we should forgive one another. Oh, church, listen, you know, only you can create community at Calvary Chapel. I can't do it. Only you can do that. So when we dismiss in a little bit, you can go to the lobby. You can see the zip codes that are needed. And if you're in that area and you say, hey, I can open up my house, great. Or I can open up my house and even be a leader there. Praise the Lord. And then we're going to have a training class. We're going to go through all the things that we're going to be doing. Very simple. It's not going to be hard or anything like that. Share group. Sharing God's word from our hearts and homes, and refreshing the hurting and each other. If you need prayer this morning, I promise you, after the song, you can come down here and you will find Philemon's. They will care for you, they will be kind for you, and they will be affectionate. This is up to you. It's not up to me. I've been obedient now. Now, I'm not putting a guilt trip on you. I never do that. I'm not even putting any pressure on you. I only want what God's wants. Amen? I only want His will. I don't care anything about my will. I only want God's will. I do know that we need greater community at this church. And I thank God that He's given me the liberty to share this day and not be in a book, but I could share what He has placed upon my heart. So, Father, this morning as we bow our heads, we only want Your perfect will. Not my will, Lord. These were not my words. This is not my vision. Everything I said, Father, as You know, came straight from Your word. I just trust You. But I will not personally stand guilty before You, Father, for not telling the sheep what's needed. I want no pressure on them, no guilt, none of that junk, Lord. But I do pray that You move upon people's hearts, that they open up their home and be a Philemon, or they open up their home not only and be a Philemon, but, Lord, that they lead the group as well. And that these homes that are going to open up will truly be a place of God's mercy, God's grace, Lord, the gifts of the Spirit, the power of prayer, the power of love and grace and mercy working in the midst of that, where we draw so close to You and so close to one another that, Lord, just like Philemon's love and faith, it will be heard all over this metroplex. Now, Lord, we love You this morning. We praise You. And, Lord, maybe there's someone here this morning, they don't know You. They never asked Jesus to be the Lord of their life. Then I pray they come to this altar when the song is over and they'll find a Philemon who will help them find Jesus. It's in that mighty name that we pray. We love You, Lord, in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Let's stand to our feet, shall we?